You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Made it to a Wednesday. It's hour one. Come on in. Stay a while. Feels like we've already done a show. We've been talking about so many things this morning for the last 90 minutes. Movies, stock. We've also talked about Tennessee as a new head coach. Central Florida's Josh Heupel, former quarterback, finalizing a deal to be the next head coach at Tennessee, according to Pete Thamel of Yahoo Sports. We go get to phone calls here, 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle, @DPShow. Come up with a poll question. Got a play of the day, stat of the day. Let me give you the guest list here. The man who loaned us his Heisman Trophy here in the Man Cave, Carson Palmer, will join us coming up. We'll also talk to Scotty Miller of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Got to find out if he's got a nickname, and if not, we got to give him a nickname that makes him sound fast. Richard Sherman, Niners defensive back, will join us, and Bob Costas on loan from the Major League Baseball Network will stop by as well. There's a scene in Anchorman, one of the all-time great movie lines, where Will Ferrell goes, "That escalated quickly." But not quite what happened in Green Bay this week. More like that de-escalated quickly. After the Packers lost in the title game, Aaron Rodgers seemed unsure about his future in Green Bay. And a couple of days later, Rodgers had a different tune. His weekly appearance on the Pat McAfee Show, Rodgers said that he didn't see any reason why he wouldn't be back, although there are no absolutes. Now, as I said at the time yesterday, at this time, I said, I don't know if this is a real story. I don't think it is. It sounded like wishful thinking, because then that allowed shows to go, let's speculate where Aaron Rodgers could end up. And I went, let's slow down here, because I don't know if maybe in frustration, he just said something off the cuff. Aaron is very calculated. And it feels like, hey, I just put a little smoke bomb out there. Hey, what's everybody all upset about here? And then you realize they're kind of reacting this way because of what he said and how he said it, when he said it. Oh, my gosh, does he want out? Does he think that he's going to get out? And then you had Mike Florio in Pro Football Talk saying a source said that Aaron Rodgers wants a new contract. And I said, well, I could see that, but not that he would want out. Well, like, where is he going? And like Devontae Adams is still there. You can still have a good offensive line. You still have a good nucleus there, young nucleus there. You're playing in the NFC East or NFC North. Like, you know, that's not, you don't have to worry too much about who you're playing most weeks there within the division. But the Packers president, Mark Murphy, said, well, he said this about Aaron Rodgers.
I just want to ask you, I don't want to go into great detail, but how did you take what Aaron said yesterday about there's a lot of futures that are going to be uncertain, myself included, and he kind of chuckled, and that has just gone that's gone ballistic today nationally.
No, I know. Well, I'll say this. There's no way in heck that Aaron is not going to be on the Packers. I mean, he's going to be the MVP of the league, might have had his best year ever. He's our unquestioned leader, and, you know, we're not idiots.
Yeah, that's the right answer, because Aaron Rodgers isn't going anywhere. Even if he is at 37, Rodgers coming off one of his best seasons, and it's becoming clear that Rodgers' situation might not be enough to fuel the machine that is the NFL offseason chatter. You know, we have other things to be talking about that are real. I would be more concerned if I'm Jared Goff in his future in L.A. than I would be Aaron Rodgers worrying about Green Bay. Here's what you don't want your general manager to say about your future. Here's Les Snead, the Rams GM, on Jared Goff's future.
With Jared, with Sean, since they've started partnering together, you know, Jared has more wins than any other quarterback except Tom Brady. So there has been successes there. And now the vision, the goal is to look at the model, see if there's some tweaks to be made to make sure we get back to who we want to be.
Okay, and finally, I'm sorry. So you can't say at this moment that Jared Goff will be on the team in 2021.
What I can say is Jared Goff's a Ram in this moment. And I said it's way too early to speculate. The future, that's a beautiful mystery.
Well, of course he's going to be there. He's under contract.
It's a beautiful mystery. What?
Yeah, he's quoting Aaron Rodgers there. How would you feel if you're Jared Goff after hearing that?
What's the mystery? I thought I was the guy.
Yeah.
I thought I was here.
That was a beautiful mystery, but we solved the mystery and you're not going to be our quarterback. I don't know if they can trade him, you know, this dead cap money and salary cap issues and all of that. But I get the feeling when I saw Jared Goff last year and I saw Jimmy Garoppolo, I was sort of seeing the same quarterback as far as I don't know if the team was – they invested in them, but I don't know if the team was really looking at them as you're our leader here, that we're firmly behind you here. And I think it's a very tenuous situation with Jared, and I think it is with Jimmy Garoppolo. I think a few quarterbacks around the league. Because it doesn't take long for a franchise to go, you know what, maybe we should move on. Just the fact that there was a report that the Dolphins were auditioning Tua Tagovailoa for the second half of the season, whether it was true or not, they were auditioning just to see, are you our starting quarterback? He just got there. You know, the Lions have moved on from Matthew Stafford at age 33. It's not a big deal. The Falcons may take a quarterback in Mel Kiper's mock draft. Falcons are taking Zach Wilson at BYU. I mean, Jared Goff's only 26. But we rush into giving them that second contract, and that's why I always say, buyer beware. Not everybody deserves a new contract. But you're coming off a Super Bowl appearance, and I guess it was hard to argue at the time. But if you said to the Eagles, do you want to redo that Carson Wentz deal? To the Rams, do you want to redo that Jared Goff deal? They would. Yeah, Paulie.
I like to think that people are intelligent, and Les Snead, the general manager of the Rams, did he say that by accident yesterday or on purpose to open the doors for the Jared Goff situation? It seems like they don't do things by accident.
It feels like that story has been there. It's just, I don't know if people really focused on Jared Goff. They were focusing on the great story of the Rams defense, but I don't think they were focusing as much on Jared Goff as maybe they should have been, and maybe taking a closer look at, is he the future there? But you owe him a lot of money, and are you going to be able to trade him? Is somebody going to want Jared Goff? Now, I wouldn't, not at that price tag. Because there's so many other options out there. I'd rather take a chance on a young quarterback than I would, somebody who's 26, who's, it sounds crazy to say, somebody who's 26, has been to a Super Bowl, I'd rather take a chance on a younger quarterback. Because I don't want to be spending that kind of money. And this is the mistake, which I'm shocked that the NFL continues to do this. It's like when you were drafted number one overall, you'd get 30, 40, sometimes $50 million. You hadn't even played. Now it's changed because now they give the money to veterans instead of a rookie who's unproven. But the fact that every quarterback, the next guy up, what are you going to make? It's a crazy business model because Jared Goff is not Aaron Rodgers or Patrick Mahomes or Deshaun Watson. Hey, the next guy up. Somebody at some point is going to say, nah, we're not going to do that. We're going to pay you this. Yeah, McLovin.
Should they have a little bit of gratitude towards Jared Goff? The guy had a surgically repaired thumb, beat the Seahawks, and then played unbelievably against the Packers. The defense no-showed against the Packers. And if I'm Jared Goff's agent, I'm calling the GM. I'm like, what are you doing? Aren't you happy that... I feel like Jared Goff was not the problem in the playoffs. He's not great, but still, like... He had a surgically repaired thumb.
No,
and he got out there and hit every pass.
I know. I thought he played, considering what he was going through, I thought that he held up well. He played well.
But in question, would you build around him? That's sort of my question.
No. Like, is he just good enough? Like, that's really what it comes down to. Not everybody's Mahomes. Not everybody's Rodgers. You know, there are guys who are just good. I mean, Kirk Cousins is just a good quarterback. He's not great. Matt Ryan has been great. I don't know if he'll ever be great again. I mean, Jared Goff was borderline very good, great a couple of years ago. But, you know, Carson Wentz was going to be the MVP and then he got hurt. It's just, man, it's a fragile nature, that position, on how good are you and can your team build around you? How long do they stay with you? you know, here are the Falcons ready to move on, you know, from Matt Ryan. Lions moved on. Matthew Stafford. Patriots moved on from Brady. Steelers probably going to move on from Ben. The Saints are going to move on from Drew Brees. Phillip Rivers retires. Yeah, McLevin.
What about Dak Prescott in that situation? He's probably a little better than those guys, but he's got health now. Now he's got a health question mark.
No, I know.
Broke his ankle.
I know.
So do you pay him $150
million? Well, the Cowboys were stupid with this. They could have, you know, 2 years ago, you could have gotten a bargain with Dak Prescott. What we would consider a true bargain. Now you're going to pay $40 million a year. You are. You're going to pay $40 million. And Jerry Jones, great businessman, but he said, look, Dak's got all the leverage. He's already said that publicly. He's got all the leverage. But yeah, I get that feeling with the Rams that, and I don't know what they can do, but they have a running game. They got a couple of good wide receivers, and that defense was very good this year. And maybe you just say, this is who we're going to be for the next 2 years. Yeah, Paulie.
Let's say, hypothetically, Jared Goff was on the market like Matt Stafford is on the market. Which one would you give a low first-round draft pick for? A 26-year-old Goff, a 33-year-old Matt Stafford?
If Matthew Stafford's medicals check out, I would take Matthew Stafford.
Who's never won a playoff game and never sniffed a Super Bowl.
Yeah, but he's never played with anywhere right. near the talent that...
That's very fair.
Like the Rams have had. I mean, Matthew Stafford, tick off all the All-Pros that he's played with. Now we're done. That's it. Time's up. Calvin Johnson's gone. This program brought to you by Built Bar. 18 amazing flavors like mint brownie, coconut almond. They're some of our favorites. Go to BuiltBar.com. Enter the promo code DP for 20% off your purchase. McLevin, what kind of poll question do you have for me?
Well, we haven't brought up the Baseball Hall of Fame, but I already put up a Baseball Hall
okay.
of Fame.
All right. All right. Should we, let me touch on it, and then maybe we could save the poll question. Bob Costas will join us in the final hour of the show. No players were voted into the Baseball Hall of Fame. We thought maybe there was a chance that Curt Schilling would get the required 75% of the votes. He did not. He got 71%. Bonds and Clemens still on the outside looking in. Scott Rolen is the guy to keep an eye on. I think he's the next guy to get into the Hall of Fame. Omar Vizquel is up there. I think Todd Helton's eventually going to get in, but I don't think that Bonds and Clemens and Curt Schilling are going to make it next year in their final year. And the controversy with this is that Curt Schilling has said, take me off the ballot. Like I understand why he says this. You may not agree with, you know, his politics, what he has said since he retired. But he's probably, you know, just saying, look, let's not go through the mockery here. I'm not getting in. It's okay. Take me off and I'll put my fate in the hands of the Veterans Committee, where I have players who are going to assess what I did. But I don't know if that really matters, because it still comes down to, unless he thinks the players might be a little bit more lenient with some of the things that Curt Schilling has posted or believes in. But should those matter? I mean, that's really what it comes down to. How much does it matter who you really are? Non-baseball stuff, post-baseball stuff. Because Curt Schilling, when he played, was charitable, loves the history of the game. There was no social media, though. That's really the key, because, you know, Curt earned the nickname Red Light Curt, because if the red light on the camera was on, he was talking. But he was cooperative with the media, and he was great with three different franchises. Now, the Phillies, people forget about Arizona and certainly what he did in Boston. I don't vote. It's hard. I wouldn't want to vote because now it's different. You just don't look at a ball player and go, he's a Hall of Famer, he's not. Now you have to go, did he use steroids? When did he use steroids? Like A-Rod. A-Rod got busted not once but twice, who should not even be on the ballot. You get busted twice? Now, we can go, hey, no, there was no testing with Bonds and Clemens. Big Poppy, his name was on the Mitchell report. Okay. A-Rod tested positive. So there's no doubt with that. I feel like A-Rod's, you know, probably getting into the Hall of Fame at some point. A-Rod has had a very good year since he retired. A very good 5 years since he retired. He's on TV with Shark Tank, Sunday Night Baseball. He's at the inauguration with J-Lo. Everything's great. Somehow, he's making up ground on Derek Jeter. But is he a Hall of Famer? No, he's not. Bonds and Clemens, if you want to go, well, Bonds was a Hall of Famer before he started cheating. All right, I don't buy into that. It's not half a career. Roger Clemens wasn't going to the Hall of Fame after his Red Sox career. He was not. But if you want to put him in, put him in. Like it's a museum. If you want to put their history in there, like it gets to the point where every year at this time, I dread coming into work to talk about it. Because we don't talk about the joy of the Hall of Fame. It's about those who didn't get in, and everybody's got an opinion on this. You know, Lawrence Taylor wasn't a good guy. He wasn't a good teammate, probably, with what he did, you know, after practice or after games and staying out all night. Nobody has a problem with that, right? You know, we pick and choose. Do we put somebody in at some point and then we have to take them out 5 years later? It's never happened. Didn't happen with OJ. Like and not everybody who's in the Hall of Fame, like all of these guys who are in the Hall of Fame, you know, we have this attitude of those are really good character guys. I don't know if they are. But like at what point do you say your politics, your opinions, you know what, we're not voting for you? And I don't know where you draw the line with that. Now, Schilling has had some tweets that have violence in them. They're extreme. They're extreme. But I don't know if that's enough to keep him out of the Hall of Fame. And it takes over the show, and then everybody has their arguments here. And, you know, it's just I get to the point where I go, judge and jury. And how much does it matter who you are? When he played, Curt Schilling checked all the boxes that you wanted him to check. You know, character, integrity, nobody ever questioned that. I haven't heard teammates say negative things about him. Yeah, Seton.
Right, I mean, that's the tricky part is that I think if you go back through the history of people inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame, yeah. I'm going to imagine their political beliefs don't hold up to current society.
Probably not.
I'm going to guess that there's some pretty controversial people that are currently sitting in there that modern day might not be looked at too kindly.
And those back in, say, the 40s or 50s when segregation was going on, and even when we had integration. But we'll leave that for Bob Costas to decipher. Scotty Miller is going to join us. Yes, Paul.
The I-Team has just discovered what Scotty the Burner Miller, which is not his nickname, his actual nickname.
Oh, I think you got to hold it.
Okay.
Yeah, I got to wait because Scotty Miller of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is going to join us coming up. All right, 19, coming up on 20 after the hour. We'll settle on a poll question. Carson Palmer a little bit later on. Richard Sherman of the Niners and Bob Costas of the MLB Network. We're back after this in the Dan Patrick Show. Ever wonder just how far an extra mile is? Well, drive a Mercedes-Benz van and you'll find out. Start with a network of over 250 authorized dealerships backed by a sales force ready to help you with everything from vehicle customization, certified service, financial solutions tailored specifically to you and your unique business or personal needs. They offer a variety of powerful and efficient vans. They run on your choice of either gas or diesel, like the durable Mercedes-Benz Sprinter or versatile Mercedes-Benz Metris, each tailored to match your work or play lifestyle. Cutting-edge options. They have the blind spot assist with rear cross traffic alert, active lane keeping assist. They have a mobile hotspot, Wi-Fi tracking capabilities, the ingenious MBUX voice command technology, directions, weather, forecast, comfort, control, and more. So, if you're enjoying life on the trail, working hard on the job, see how far that extra mile really goes by taking the first step into a authorized Mercedes-Benz van. And check out their dealerships to take a test drive today. Mercedes-Benz vans, some equipment described as optional. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. We'll come up with a poll question, got a play of the day, stat of the day. Dunder Mifflin family, a new home, The Office. Streaming now exclusively on Peacock. Whether you know every quote or you're a newbie to Scranton, you can stream every episode again and again. Sign up at PeacockTV.com. Now, the pride of Bowling Green, he's Scotty Miller, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers wide receiver, joins us on the program. Scotty, thanks for joining us. Congratulations getting to the Super Bowl.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
All right, take me into the huddle. Final play, first half. What's the play call?
Yeah, so, I mean, even before that, just to go for it, that was a big decision for the coaches on that fourth down. But then for that play call, we just called a go route for me and Mike. I really thought it was going to turn into a Hail Mary type of thing. I was telling Chris before the play to widen out with me in the bunch. But then that came out in just single high defense, so I was able to get a one-on-one matchup. And he wasn't even bailing too fast, like I'm sure you've seen, so I was able to just get right by him.
But when did you know that this could turn into a touchdown?
Yeah, so like before the play, like I said, I wasn't really expecting this to happen at all. But right when I took off and I saw him not running, in my head, I'm like, dude, I'm like, number 20, you better start running. I'm gonna go right by you. So at that moment, when I saw him just kind of like in a slow backpedal, I'm like, I'm about to score. And then I looked up and saw Tom, saw the same thing I did. The ball was just floating. So,
but how do you hide or disguise that you're going to go deep like that? I think that they thought you guys were going to try to get into field goal range, but how do you hide the fact that, hey, I'm going to try to blow right by you?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think, first of all, the coaches did a good job. I was in a cut split in a bunch, so they probably thought I was going to go run an out route or something like that. But for me, like, as far as my technique, just run right at his blind spot where he can't see me because his eyes are looking at the quarterback. So he doesn't know if I'm going to break out. You know, it kind of confuses him when I run right at his blind spot. And then I just, at that point, stick my foot in the ground and go by him.
What did Brady say after the touchdown?
Honestly, I don't even know if I remember. I was going crazy. I was like running circles in the end zone. I don't even know what was going on. But it was an unbelievable moment. He was pumped. He came. He's always celebrating with us in the end zone. He's big on that. So, you know, something like, let's go, you know, so it's cool.
Did you keep the football?
Yeah, I got it. Absolutely.
I think get Brady to autograph it.
That'd be nice. Yeah, I gotta get a couple signatures from him after the season. Get a jersey, football.
I don't think you could get King to sign it, though, the Packers defensive back. I think that would be mean-spirited, though, Scotty. When did you know you were fast?
Ever since I was able to run, really. From a young age, I've always been the fastest one in my grade. And I remember winning races, field day in fifth and third, fourth, fifth grade, stuff like that. I've always been just naturally God-given, just blessed with blessed and fortunate with speed.
But it's one thing to run on recess in a playground. Then you get on a football field, and there's quickness and then there's speed. When did you realize you had speed?
Same type of thing. For me, I've been doing the same type of thing ever since I was a little kid. If you look at highlights from when I was playing youth football in fifth grade when I started, I was doing the same thing, just running by dudes and catching deep balls. So I've really had it my whole life. But then at this, like in high school, I think I really, once I started running track, I really started to develop and know that I could run with the best of them.
But you run a 4.39 at your pro day. Is that the best you've ever run?
Yeah, I mean, that I would like to say it was a little lower than that. I wish I got invited to the combine, so I had like a laser timing, because at my pro day I had like 20 scouts with hand times, and some dudes told me I ran the high 4.2, some guys told me mid 4.3s. It was just like everywhere. And then 4.39 came out. I don't know where that exactly comes from, but I'd like to. I wish I ran one where I could tell people exactly what I ran.
But you get labeled. Like you probably got bunched in with Julian Edelman and Wes Welker, even though you're not really like them, and you play in the MAC. You weren't highly recruited. Like, how did you fall through the cracks where you really had a hard time just, you know, getting somebody's eyes on you?
Yeah, it's always been it's a tough road for me ever since high school, just getting noticed. only had one FBS offer. And I think it's just because I'm undersized. I'm still undersized in the NFL, but that's always made me work even harder to prove people wrong. And I love the Dodgers.
Any defensive backs say, man, you're a little bit faster than I thought.
Yeah, I mean, that's whenever I get to a team, whether it be Bowling Green or now with the Bucks or anybody I play against, or everyone always just tell me that.
But you and Brady got something in common, though. Sixth-round draft picks, like, you know.
That's right. Hopefully, I can have a similar career to him.
Official height and weight, not program. Official height and weight.
I'm 5'9" right now. Probably lost a couple pounds in the season. Probably 170.
You sure you're 5'9"?
Yes, I'm 5'9", yes.
Okay. I mean, it sounds better if you're 5'8", like 5'8 and a half. Like, how would you do if you and Tyreek Hill lined up?
Oh, I'm taking me every day of the week. I'll take me over anybody. Tyreek is unbelievable, super quick, unbelievable talent. But if we're talking about race, I mean, I got all the confidence in myself against going up against anybody.
Wait, you think you're the fastest guy in the NFL?
Yes, sir.
What's that like, though, to get in the blocks in high school and you're running the 100 meters and you look around, they're probably looking at you like, this guy run? Like, did you have that feeling?
Absolutely, yeah. I think people always slept on me, but they're going to find out really quick. Once that gun goes off, they're going to find out really quick who's the fastest one.
What's the nickname that you have?
Scooter is the big one, especially this year. Tom really drove that one home. So that's what everyone's been calling me.
We got to get something a little more badass. Like Scoot is, I don't know. How about Smoke?
Smoke, yeah. I like it.
But, you know, I was thinking, maybe you don't want a name that's flashy where you draw too much attention. Like
you got to fly under the radar, yeah. It's not a bad thing.
Yeah. He's Scotty Miller. He's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers wide receiver. That flight back home, what was it like from Green Bay?
Oh, it was amazing. It was so much fun. The locker room after was insane. I never experienced anything like that. Of course, you got Gronk going crazy the whole time. And just everybody having so much fun.
Did Gronk have his shirt off?
Oh, yeah. You already know. You already know he did. Dancing all over the place. Everyone's taking videos of him. But we got such a great group of guys. We had a great time.
But this is pretty amazing. You're what, 23?
Yes, sir.
And you're around Tom Brady. I mean,
yeah, it's wild. I could never imagine any of this stuff happening. So I'm just taking it one day at a time. It's a crazy experience.
Has he yelled at you before?
Yeah, he hasn't got after me too bad. But I mean, he gets on everybody. He expects greatness. So he's going to get it out of you.
What's it like with, are you guys going to be in your home or in a hotel Super Bowl week?
We are going to be at home. I think we only show up to the hotel the night before the game, so I'll be at home these next 2 weeks.
Are you okay with that?
Yeah, absolutely. I like it. It's where I'm comfortable. I got my wife here, so just get to hang out with her just like I normally do and try to make the moment not as big as it is, and I think that'll help out.
You watch film already with the Chiefs?
Yeah, and we played them. As you know, we played them earlier, so I know a lot what they do. I know the guys that they have. But we'll really get after that tomorrow. We'll be in the building all day and then pretty much every day leading up to the Super Bowl.
Are you recognized in Tampa?
This year's different because I don't even go out. And in that last round, I think anyone would know who I am. This year, probably still not. But occasionally, if I'm at the mall or something, sometimes people will, you know, say something to me. But if you look at me, you probably don't think that's an NFL player, so.
Even if you had your jersey on, though, Scotty.
They may think I'm just some fan wearing the number 10, and they're wondering who number 10 is. But
how many tickets do you get for the Super Bowl?
I still don't know the answer to that question. They're trying to figure it out. I've heard a whole bunch of different things, but I'm hoping to get as many as I can.
But what kind of requests? How many people have asked for tickets?
Oh my goodness. I mean, everybody you could think of, who doesn't want to come to the Super Bowl. So that's where it's tough, to figure out who, but I know I hope I get at least three so I can at least get my parents and my wife to come and then, you know, try and get a couple other people that are really meaningful to me in my life.
But will you tell your kids about Gronk or about Brady?
Gronk would probably be the first one to come to mind because all the stories and all the
Give me a story. Like, what's the one where you go, you come home and you say to your wife, this is Gronk?
Man, I don't know if I can point to one off the top of my head, but I mean, we were playing basketball and just watching him play basketball is pretty funny. It was at Berkeley in the summer, just watching him go up and dunk and kind of joke around, and just the way he goes about it is just, he's just hilarious.
But he's not going to be doing keg stands or anything like that. You, like, you missed out on that Gronk.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we win this next one. I don't know. Maybe coming out of retirement. For all, I don't know. Let's see.
Hey, well, congratulations. It's been a fun ride, and you know, be big time stuff though going out on that field. But you get to play. Are you going to feel like it's a home game?
I don't know. Honestly, I mean, we'll see. I think it's going to definitely make it seem a lot. Like, not as big of a moment because we're playing our home stadium where we always play on any given Sunday. But we'll see. I think we're all really excited to have a lot of our fans are going to be there, so it's going to be fun.
Yeah, it'll be different from Lambeau. But, look, you played in Bowling Green, so that, you know, I mean, you played in cold weather. You're from Chicago, so that's nothing. Now you get to, you know, play in Tampa.
Hey, this year I've been used to – not everyone's used to playing in cold weather with no fans there. That's one thing I've been used to my whole life, really.
That was your college career, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Hey, congrats, though, Scotty, and it'll be fun watching you, and good luck.
Thanks, man. I appreciate you.
That's Scotty Miller. Smoke Miller. What else do you have, Paul?
Seton's got a good one.
Okay.
Well, maybe it should be, since he flies under the radar, it's Stealth Miller.
Stealth Miller.
I like that.
He likes stealth.
Stealth.
Bomber, stealth jet.
It's not
whatever.
Bad.
Yeah, but I always think of the broadcaster. And if you're saying, and there's Stealth Miller.
Yeah.
I like Smoke.
Yeah, Smoke is good.
I like Smoke. Scotty or Scooter? Scooty?
Man, what a difference between the end of last season for him and this season, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. The fact that he said he could take Tyreek Hill, I think Scooter Miller just made some headlines there.
He goes, they're going to find out quick.
Whoa,
let's go.
I like when he says, yeah, cold weather and no fans. That's basically my career. That's a good line.
Awesome.
That's a good line. Good job, Todd. And thanks to the Buccaneers for getting us Scotty Miller. You know, anybody can have Brady or Gronk. We wanted gritty, gutty Scotty Miller. Let's see. How about we take a break? We'll come up with our poll question. We got our play of the day, stat of the day, all of that coming up here on the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Oh, my God.
The play. The play's called play. Of the day.
Runner left side, got it!
Check this out.
Knicks miss, close rebound comes out to Clarkson. High lob pass.
Rudy, yes, sir. Rudy.
How about the reverse for dunk?
That's just pretty. All you can do is stand and watch if you're the Knicks, because you're not getting up there in that space.
Courtesy of the Jazz TV Network, Rudy Gobert climbs the ladder. He's got 52 dunks this season, second in the NBA to the Knicks' Mitchell Robinson, who has 58. Gobert led the league in each of the last two seasons in that category. Play of the day. Play of the day is brought to you by M-Drive, the supplement I take every morning. M-Drive, powerful ingredients backed by science, help you get energized, stronger, leaner. Go to mdrivedan.com today. Free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't let age beat you. Refind your prime with M-Drive. Poll question, McLovin, are we going to stay with the baseball one or wait until Bob Costas joins us?
Well, I think we have the result. It's been pretty steady. Would you vote for Curt Schilling to be in the Hall of Fame? 69% say yes.
Yeah. Yeah, Paulie.
What if the question were posed differently and if Schilling's name were off it and said, would you vote for a player based only on his baseball playing career? Do you think the results would be different and you had Schilling's name off it? Because that's what this question is. Like, imagine Kirk... when a player retires, like a movie that goes to black, should the day the player hangs up his cleats, you go to black and that's what you're voting on, and you stop anything afterwards, non-baseball.
Yeah, but they need 5 years to vet you. And that's the only problem.
Right. And if, I guess what I'm saying, what you're looking at is the baseball career, and as soon as he retires, you're not looking at anything other after.
Well, Pete Rose would be in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
Because I don't know if anything came out with Pete, and we may never find this out, that Pete Bett is a baseball player. Now, do I think he did? Yes. But once he ended his playing career, although he was player manager, I believe, and therefore that would have been made it a little more gray area. But it just feels like every year we talk about who didn't get in. Pete Rose's name comes up. The steroid guys' names come up. And then we don't have anybody who got inducted this year. Yeah, Fritzy.
Well, like you've said many times, though, it's a museum. You honor him for his on-field accomplishments. And then if you want to put a little something somewhere under the bust that explains some of the questionable behaviors or things that you feel like you need to include, so that when people for generations really understand who this person is, then that's another story.
But that wouldn't be applicable to Schilling, because this has no baseball baggage. Bonds has baseball baggage. Clemens has baseball baggage. Pete Rose has baseball baggage. Curt Schilling is just about, you know, his views. And he's got extreme views. Yeah, McLovin.
If Schilling was a better player, say like Mike Trout level, then he would get in, though, right? Because Schilling is borderline as is. I mean, he's high borderline, but...
Yeah, I don't think he's a slam dunk. But I do think that, you know, there's very few pitchers in my lifetime, if you said... win or go home, and you give the ball to that guy, you feel confident. And he's one of those guys. He's probably in the top 10, if not even higher than that. Win or go home. Schilling never lost those games. He just didn't. And is that enough to say he's a Hall of Famer? In my mind, yes. I think he's a Hall of Famer. I don't think Clemens is a Hall of Famer without steroids. Bonds, you could say, was a Hall of Famer before he started using. Okay. But then does a Hall of Famer use steroids? I mean, then it comes down to that as well. It just, I grew up loving the game, but I don't look at the game the way I once did. And, you know, not that this is a boo-hoo moment, but we don't celebrate baseball. We just don't. The way we used to, we don't celebrate it. Yeah, Paul.
Some people that vote for for Bonds and Clemens make the case. I've heard a few different people, both on MLB Network and other places. Baseball allowed steroids in the game and delayed testing as long as they could, and they reaped the benefits, the financial benefits of Bonds and McGuire and Sosa for years. So let them eat it.
That's the Players Association. I can say with full disclosure, I had conversations with Bud Selig, and I said, look, you look bad here. And he said, I can't do anything with the Players Association. The Players Association was so strong with Donald Fear. He said, that's why he implemented drug testing in the minor leagues. He couldn't do it in the major leagues. They wouldn't allow it to happen. And I said, you know, does Donald Fear know what he's doing? That while he's making money for his clients or, you know, the players in his union, we're also casting a skeptical eye to everything that they do. So it was all under suspicion. But look at the money that was made due to steroids. And did baseball celebrate McGuire and Sosa? They had no other choice. Like, you can't turn your back and go, we think they're cheating. We can't get testing. Like, do these owners, did they look the other way? Absolutely. But I know the commissioner, and I had conversations with him. I mean, let's go back to when I talked to the commissioner and he said, I throw my hands up. I don't, and I'm giving you guys behind the scenes conversations, and he probably would not be pleased that I'm telling you this. But he said, look, I don't know what else I can do. And I said, well, if you want to find out what's going on, bring in the clubhouse attendants. And that's what he did. And therefore, he found out what was going on in Major League Baseball and at least was able to build a case here. And that's how they got in front of Congress, because you had to build a case to do it. But the Players Association wouldn't allow this to happen, because look at all the money that was made, because they were basing their numbers off a previous generation or a generation prior to that and say, this guy hit this, my guy hit this, and therefore they could ask for more money. I mean, look at Bonds made $20 million And he didn't make anywhere near that when he was with Pittsburgh. Yeah, Paul.
Bonds made more money in the last five seasons of his career than he made in the previous 15.
Yeah. But, hey, look, baseball created this. The Players Association. Remember 95% were clean? Remember that nonsense? Hey, 95%. And I said, well, why would you let 5% dictate what's going on in baseball? And it was all nonsense. But, look, you want to put Curt Schilling in? Put him in. Bonds, Clemens, put him in. It's for you. It's you, the audience. You want to go see it? You want him in? Then fine. Speak up. You know? Let baseball know. But I stopped caring about, you know, where I'm going to go. I don't know. Did that guy use? How long did he use? Well, all right. I just wanted to watch baseball, enjoy baseball, instead of going, man, that was an opposite field home run for a second baseman who weighs 180 pounds. I never, like Joe Morgan. Joe Morgan grew up, I grew up watching Joe Morgan with the Big Red Machine. Never once did I go, Joe's got 27 home runs. I wonder if he's juicing. Like, never. Just didn't. Johnny Bench. He had 40 home runs. I didn't, never went, you know, I think Johnny's juicing there. And then it got to the point where if I didn't think it, it was rare. Where I go, I wonder about that guy. Oh, he's wearing baggy uniforms. Oh, they're wearing really tight uniforms. Like, man, it just became CSI MLB, and I just got tired of it. It's a shame because I love the game so much, and it, so much of my life was built around going to baseball games, watching baseball games. Let's talk about Scotty Miller. Let's talk about something that's fun. He was good. He's going to make some headlines today. I think when you, that quote about, hey, number 20, you better start running, when he's talking about King, the defensive back there, Kenny King. And then the other one was that he could take Tyreek Hill. That's going to be some headlines. So, yeah, when you say to Kevin King, hey, 20, you better start running. Yeah, Paul.
I really hope a Kansas City media person gets this and gets it in front of Tyreek immediately.
Yeah. Tyreek, your comments on Scotty Miller, Smoke Miller. He said that he could take you in a 100-yard dash. Yes,
I love even, too, that he's like, he breaks off the line and thinks, man, 20, you better start running. At the same time, he's like, oh, I'm going to score. He knows right there that he's got a touchdown just in that moment, just off that quick burst. And how that defender reacts to it. I think that's really interesting.
Well, he said that he could see him looking in the backfield. So he's looking at Brady, and then he realizes he can't turn and catch me. And just that feeling of knowing, I'm going to run right by this dude, and we're going to score a touchdown at the end of the first half. Yeah, Paul.
Scotty Miller said, I've been the fastest guy in the class since I was, you know, 4 years old. I've never been the fastest guy in any room I've ever been in my life. Even, I think, in an empty room, I wouldn't be the fastest guy. It's got to be a cool feeling.
Once again, Tennessee has found their next head coach, according to Pete Thamel of Yahoo Sports. He's Josh Heupel. Tennessee hired Heupel's athletic director, I believe. Is that right?
Yes.
Danny White.
Yeah, from UCF.
So he comes in and then brings Heupel with him, finalizing the details to be the next head coach at Tennessee. All right, coming up next hour, he loaned us his Heisman, Carson Palmer, former USC Trojan, will join us. Richard Sherman will stop by as well, the Niners defensive back. And Bob Costas, Major League Baseball Network Hall of Famer. 1 hour in the books, two more to go on this Wednesday, Dan Patrick Show. One more item in the first hour, and yes, it's back. The Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Squares Sweepstakes is back and better than ever. What could you do with $50,000? Well, this year you can find out because Rocket Mortgage is hosting the largest official game of Super Bowl Squares ever. Millions of dollars in prizes. Enter for free, chance to win $50,000 every time the score changes. Plus, two lucky players will win $500,000 they could use towards their dream home. Touchdowns, field goals, extra points. Every scoring play pays. Rocket Mortgage will be announcing the winners live on their channels during the game. Follow along on February 7th to see if you're a winner. It's free to enter, easy to play. See rules and enter now at rocketmortgagesquares.com. Rocketmortgagesquares.com. No purchase necessary. Legal residents of the 50 U.S. states and D.C. who are the age of majority. Ends February 4th at 11:59 p.m. Eastern. Equal housing lender, licensed all 50 states, NMLS number 3030. Good luck.